Hi, I'm Carlos Sainz, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 711, September 6th, 2016. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say hello and benvenuti to the Gelato and Autodromo edition. Back to you, Signor, the Pope of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ferrari did the best they could. Red Bull still has work to do. Most teams are now working on the 2017 car. And, of course, F1 Weekly now available on WROCK Radio, streaming on WLOR.net, Wednesdays at 11 and Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. What's the latest in Cali?
The Cali is that it's warm, it's dry, and it's warm.
And how is the host with the most doing, sir?
Very nice. Of course, the Palatial Studios have full atmospheric artificial conditions, as I should say. And we are very comfortable in here.
Well, that's good to hear, sir. So, big excitement before the race, during the race, after the race. Where, as they say in a song from Andy Williams, where do I begin?
Well, Felipe Massa felt like since Schumacher retired and announced it at Monza in Italy, he felt he had to do the same thing, and we were happy that Felipe is finally hanging up his cleats. And then the following day, Jenson Button, who says he's retiring, but he's not really retiring. He's going into a reserve role where he might come back in 2018, which really means he's retiring, but he can't grasp the concept of retiring. So he's still at McLaren, but won't be driving.
Okay, as far as Felipe Massa is concerned, I have to say this in announcing his retirement, thanking everybody from his mom and pop to God and Rob Smedley and everybody, which was good. But what I did like about him was that, you know, it is better for you to announce your retirement than have motor racing announce your retirement, if you know what I mean. We'll just keep going and hanging on, and then, you know, they learn the hard way that, you know, they are no longer allowed. Access denied in the paddock. And as far as Jenson Button is concerned, you know, this is what I say, funiculi funicula. Jenson goes on gardening leave at Ron's Villa. Jenson will not be in Formula One in 2017. Actually, he will be, but he will not be driving, but will be under contract to McLaren. Ron, you know, they always used to talk about Ron speak. And now I finally understand what they were talking about. Ron is calling this an innovative driver agreement. And Clark, you're a music man, this you will appreciate. This is like Sonny Bono singing to Cher, I've Got You, Babe, while she is hanging out with Richie Sambora.
That's very beautiful, Nasser.
Well, I knew you would at least get the, you know, what I'm trying to say here.
I got the message.
Yes, that's very good. So, what do you think will be happening with Jenson Button? That obviously they're going to have Alonso. And Alonso, I think he's trying very hard to have McLaren release him from their contract. You know, he was laughing at the team, and he must be very, very, I mean, we can see how frustrated Sebastian Vettel is, and his car is three times better than what Nando has right now. So one can only imagine what Nando is feeling right now.
Well, wait till we're in Japan.
Oh, that's what I'm waiting on.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to make a big announcement.
Yeah, there's talk that Jenson may do a triathlon, he may do some sports car races. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's always sad when people leave, you know, even with, you know, Yarno Trulli. You know, we watch these people for, especially when I was in Cali getting up at 5 in the morning, you see them for so many years and do that thing which we enjoy, and then one day they're leaving. But it's a time for everybody to go, you know.
There is a time for everybody to go, and that's going to include F1 Weekly. So all good things must end, Nasser. That's just the way it is, and it happens to be at the extreme in Formula One.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about F1 Weekly, the end. We've made one decade, okay? I would like to, you know, if I'm breathing, at least complete our second decade also.
Yes, don't worry. The walkers and wheelchairs have been ordered.
Oh, that's very good. Mm. I want my automatic. I don't want to be shifting gears.
Don't worry. We got you a shifter.
Ah, there you go. So what else you want to talk about before we talk about Colli and the race and this and that?
Well, quickly, you know, Fernando is frustrated, like you said. He is giggling and laughing at the team. And that laughter was pretty funny, you have to admit.
I missed the part. What did the team say to him that he was laughing?
Something, you know, I can't really say because I'm half deaf anyway. But it was performance issue with the car.
Yeah, it was. But his GP2 engine comment at Suzuka of all the places, I mean, that's a classic for all times for me.
Oh, no, it's going to get better.
And now, you know, hopefully one day when he retires, I'll have a chance to sit down and chat with him. And I'll ask him about that beach chair and GP2 comment.
You know, I just want to mention that my sister-in-law actually lives in Oviedo, Florida.
Yeah, Oviedo, Florida is not too far from here.
Yeah, that's why I laugh.
Can you have her sign like a fake Alonso signature on a t-shirt and send it to you?
Oviedo, I love you.
Yeah, something like that.
I'll take care of it.
There you go.
Anyway, let's get back to the Mercedes championship. I mean, Formula One.
The Quali.
Yeah, Quali. But, yeah, and it was impressive. I mean, let's say it. Lewis Hamilton dominated the entire weekend until the start of the race.
He was like almost half a second faster than Rosberg in the qualifying. That's incredible.
It is incredible.
And the, of course, those guys being on the front row is expected. But for me, the pleasant surprise was the performance of Haas car making to Q3 for the first time. And what was even more surprising, it was not Romain Grosjean, but pointless up to and post Monza, our amigo Esteban Gutierrez.
That's very true. All of a sudden, Esteban Gutierrez, now that the pressure's on, they're going to have a different driver lineup, I think. At least one driver is going to be gone next year at Haas F1. And I think Gutierrez has decided, well, I better do something.
Yeah, you know, he is on the same program now as his compadre, Sergio Perez from Guadalajara. I mean, both of them have far highly touted teammates, but both of them are now outdriving their team respective teammates. What say you?
Well, I think it's good for the team that they work for. I mean, it's important. These guys need to be outdriving their teammates, especially when they have quick teammates. I mean, Nico Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean are both very quick.
Yes, and very, very well accomplished from their, you know, junior categories.
Absolutely. So, and we've known Esteban Gutierrez for a long, long time. He's been part of the F1 Weekly Familia, so we want him to do well.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you said that because Esteban and Alexander Rossi will always have a special meaning for us at F1 Weekly, as these were one of the first drivers we interviewed when they were teenagers and who went on to race in Formula One. And I remember seeing these kids race here in San Jose. I mean, when I was in California in San Jose, when they had the Formula BMW race there as part of the IndyCar race. You remember that, sir?
Yes, yeah. That was one of the opening acts for the Champ Car series that came to downtown.
Yeah, exactly. And it was good. And it's good to see them make it to Formula One. Alexander Rossi now is the winner of the 100th running of the Indy 500. So that will be in record books forever. Now, I have a question for you, sir. No pole for Ferrari at home in the last 13 years. Do you think heads will be rolling? And did you look at the faces of Piero Ferrari and Sergio Marchionne at Monza?
Very sad faces.
I think they are wondering whose head should roll now.
Well, the problem is, heads rolling. I mean, if Mercedes wasn't in the conversation, Ferrari would be doing very well.
Well, you know, that's what Eddie Irvine and Rubens Barrichello discuss when they talk on the phone.
And Fisichella.
Yeah, and if Michael was not there, I would be two-time and you would be three-time world champion.
Very true, I understand. And the problem is the patience isn't there, because first they were fighting with Red Bull, now they're fighting with Mercedes. Who's next? McLaren? They really need to make a big step forward, and they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, next is Force India.
It could be. You know, I don't think it's going to be Force India, but Force India is certainly in the top 10 pretty consistently now. And, of course, Fernando Alonso is hoping that McLaren is fighting for the front of the spear next season with the bigger front tires, the bigger rear tires. The cars will look a lot better also next year.
Well, I certainly hope so.
It's still sponsored by Hoover.
Yeah, very true. No, actually, it's like a upgraded version of Hoover. There is much more noise, I think like 25% more from last year. But, yeah, at least as long as the cars are looking good, at least there'll be some comfort for geezers like you and I.
Absolutely. I totally agree. But I thought Lewis Hamilton did what everybody expected him to do, was grab pole position. Nico, we knew it was going to be a Mercedes front row. We're in Monza. The Renault package at Monza, we knew was going to be a little weak. Of course, Ferrari spent their final token to be as fast as possible in front of the Tifosi and the Ferraris and the Pope himself. I was impressed with Sebastian Vettel being three, Kimi Raikkonen fourth. Of course, we had Valtteri Bottas once again in front of the Red Bulls. I really like that. And Daniel Ricciardo put his foot down and out-qualified Verstappen.
Yeah. And you know, interesting thing about at Monza, Lewis being on pole, this was his fifth pole position at Monza. And there are two other drivers who also have five poles at Monza. Listen to the names, Senna and Fangio. So this kid is, you know, step by step putting his name up there with the very best. And this was his 56th pole of his career. Very impressive, and seventh of the season.
Yes, absolutely. And just to remind everybody, this track only has 11 corners. It's very fast. It's a fast race. Like you said, it's usually a little over an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. An hour and 20 minutes is done and dusted.
It's done. Yeah, they're already having donuts over at the Salvation Army.
Yeah, except for the Maynard, it's completing its last lap.
That's very true. Sad, but very, very true. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm tired. I predicted Fernando Alonso would be on the podium. What happened? Nothing.
No, that's what you predict every race. See, that's where the problem is. See, what you should do is start looking at the podium. Like, you know, he did once on his timing, he put it on this Twitter upside down, so he's looking like in the top three.
That's very true. That's a good thing to do, too. I like it.
Yeah, you should do the same thing, you know.
Yeah, maybe I will go upside down and put Manor on the top step.
There you go.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, all very predictable. I mean, we knew it was going to be a Mercedes quali, a Mercedes win. We got what's really, I think the biggest thing is, once again, Lewis Hamilton has a terrible start. He's had terrible starts in the past, going all the way back to Bahrain. What do you think is up with that?
You know, I don't know these days how you start trim and how you finish. During the telecast, it was said that Lewis said to his team, sorry guys, it's my fault. Back. So I don't know what's going on. Days we will get a sort of a PC press release from Mercedes, and we'll get an idea what happened.
Yes, because Nico Rosberg's not having a bad start, so therefore it's the driver.
Okay. Well, always good to see Lewis dent-free at the end of the opening lap, where he was not leading into the first corner. And I'll tell you, man, Nico has started the second half of the season like he did. And this, you know, it's coming up at the best places, Spa and Monza. He's starting the second half the way he started the season, you know, back-to-back victories. And let's see how far this will go. Singapore should be exciting.
Singapore should be exciting, but the way Rosberg took off in Italy was very impressive. I also liked the way Vettel and Raikkonen, then Bottas, and then Ricciardo all passed Hamilton. That made me feel really fuzzy and warm inside.
I know somebody was extremely happy across the pond.
Yes, exactly, I'm sure. Then, of course, Hamilton went into passing Ricciardo pretty quickly. And, of course, I was thinking Rosberg must be pretty happy. Verstappen struggled. He dropped down to 11th by lap 3, and not sure what was going on there.
Yeah, you know, Lewis, when he went down to, I believe he went down to 6th, I figured, you know, he's going to try to barge his way through somebody and bang wheels with somebody. But he has been driving like, you know, when he's not leading now, he is driving like a driver of his caliber should drive. Not getting into, you know, dents and bumper hitting with each other and all that. Remember the race at Monza where Sebastian Vettel won in the Toro Rosso? How I think he collided with Mark Webber like 2 or 3 times.
That's true. That's true. Also, Hamilton had a hard time getting past Bottas on lap 5. Bottas had some speed on the straights and did a pretty good job in keeping the Mercedes at bay, but it wasn't to last very long.
Yeah, but I mean, with him being, Lewis being half a second faster than Nico and Colli, it was very surprising that he just could not even do a fake sort of charge against Nico Rosberg.
Very, very true. Very, very true. But I thought Rosberg had a really good race. He set fastest lap on lap 8. And Verstappen got past Fernando Alonso into 9th. Hamilton is again urged to be patient by his team.
Send him quite a bit of information how to race and how to not push and all that.
I know. There's a lot of that. A lot of fuel savings. But, you know, I was watching IndyCar. And, boy, they save a lot of fuel, too, don't they?
Yeah, that whole thing about motor racing these days is a joke.
It's very sad. Everybody's coasting. Everybody's saving fuel. I don't know. I was a little frustrated watching that IndyCar race, even though I was happy for Scott Dixon. But to win because you saved more fuel than the other guys, is that motor racing?
Not really, but what I want to know is how did you go from Monza to Watkins Glen in one sentence?
That's very easy, because they're both great road tracks.
That is very true, and Watkins Glen was a F1 favorite in the heydays of Formula One racing in New York.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yes, I can make that leap on occasion.
Yes, you're an amazing human. Just don't make the leap from Monza to Dover, okay?
Yeah, well, I was going to bring up Darlington.
Oh, was it Darlington?
Isn't it Darlington?
I don't know.
Come on.
The D is a D, you know.
I know, but I like it. So, anyway, but I'm moving more and more towards NASCAR. You know, they don't save fuel anymore.
I can tell.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Lap 16, Raikkonen goes into the pits. They've gone for more super soft tires, which was, I don't know, I thought that was strange. He'd have to pit again. Some of the strategies I can't figure out anymore, but it is what it is. In the middle of the race, it was a bit, how we could say, you know, a little long in the tooth, not much happening. I guess with Mercedes out front and Fernando not winning, I'm not that happy anymore.
Well, I think what really made the race less, I wouldn't call any race a boring, but less thrilling, was that normally you have the two Mercedes fighting with each, drivers fighting with each other. We did not even have that.
Exactly, exactly.
And any time if Raikkonen and Verstappen are not running close to each other, there goes more excitement.
Exactly, exactly. Lap 25, Rosberg comes in, puts on medium tires. And he's got enough of a lead to not worry about anything. But Hamilton did lead the race for a short period of time.
That will be part of his autobiography, which he wrote in his first year of Formula One, by the way.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, that was, I think, was a joke.
What do you think about the Renault drivers? Do you think Magnussen or Palmer are going to be back next year?
No, actually, I don't. And there was in the news today or yesterday from Kevin Magnussen that he has been told that his fate will be decided very soon.
Correct. I saw that too. And I feel sorry for Kevin Magnussen. You know, when he first came on the scene, getting on the podium in Australia in his McLaren debut, and it's all come downhill.
Yeah, like my friend from Denmark, Mr. Peter Nygaard, said to me that now McLaren has screwed both the Magnussen, father and son.
Yeah,
It's one of those things, you know, Clark, with this business of motor racing is absolutely amazing. You know, you have, I remember in Formula 3, when Kevin Magnussen and Felipe Nasr raced together, Felipe Nasr had a tremendous first half, and then Kevin Magnussen was having some issues, and the tables turned totally that in the second half, Kevin Magnussen had a tremendous second half and won. They ended up winning same number of races. And then, like you said, he went into his first race with McLaren on the podium. And now, basically, you know, I will not be surprised if he is in IndyCar racing as a teammate to Scott Dixon.
Yeah, exactly. Lap 34, Vettel comes in for his second pit stop, which puts Raikkonen in second ahead of Hamilton in third. Vettel emerged fifth in front of Verstappen. And perhaps that was priority at Ferrari. But in the end, there wasn't much change. Rosberg had this in the bag from the start of the race.
Yeah, very impressive drive. And, you know, if Lewis is making mistake or is having problem, we cannot blame Nico for that, you know.
I know. And we don't get the kablamos that we used to get. But by lap 40, Rosberg was 10 seconds ahead of Hamilton. And with 13 laps to go, impossible. And it was a very impressive win. But I was glad to see Vettel make the podium, because Ferrari certainly needed, for the Tifosi, for the people of Italy, for Ferrari that was right there in the pits, and Marchionne. Wow, but I don't know what they're going to do. They seem to be going nowhere. I said that last week. I'm saying it again this week. They are just stuck in that tier, a half a second behind Mercedes. And to be honest with you, big tires, different downforce, I don't see much difference next year.
You mean for Ferrari or for overall?
For Formula One.
Well, you know, the thing is, first of all, Ferrari, I think for the rest of the season, if they can get both cars in the top five, that should be, you know, a decent finish to the season. They're not going to beat, nobody's going to beat Mercedes right now. But I don't know about next season, but the thing, you know, with if you look at the Mercedes Formula One racing operation, you know, they are very well covered on the engine side, because it's built by their what they call high performance division, which used to be Ilmor and based in Brixworth, England. So it's very, I would say, very, very deep in technology there. Mercedes-Benz, courtesy of Daimler-Benz, I think they are very resource-rich and very, very deep in technology. And then you on the pure racing side, you know, this thing was left behind by Ross Brawn. We have this guy, who's the chief technical guy, that Paddy Lowe. He was at McLaren for many years. They have a lot of good people. You know, Aldo Costa is there, I believe. That's the name, right? Aldo Costa. So they are very... this is like they are fighting on all cylinders.
They are. And Renault actually admitted that they are not able to get the kind of engineering and personnel to get up to speed and to become competitive, because all these great talents are employed at Mercedes, at Ferrari, at McLaren, and nobody's leaving those teams.
Man, I'll tell you, the one guy, the way Red Bull is going now, all they need at Renault is Fernando Alonso.
Exactly.
That guy can bring this car into the points, give him some more, you know, power and all that. He's the man they need.
I agree. I don't see Fernando going back there. You can never go back home where he won his two championships. But I'm sure Renault is dreaming about that.
No, he's gone back there once after he left McLaren, so... But, you know, it will be interesting who they take. What they are trying to do is take this young kid, Esteban Ocon, who's very talented. He's a Mercedes contracted driver, but he's on loan to Renault. I really thought that, you know, that Felipe Massa may go there, because, you know, there's a big connection between him and his manager, which is Nicola Todd and Frederick Vasseur, who is the team manager now. But obviously with Massa announcing his retirement, that's not going to happen. Button staying there. You know, Button raced for Enstone when they were Benetton or Renault. Remember when he was under contract to when he raced under Flavio's empire?
Of course. Flavio didn't like him.
Yeah, I know. Part of the reason was he was not under his driver management thing. So that was also part of Flavio's thing. But I think, you know, in Esteban Ocon, they have a very young, not be a bad Kevin Magnussen, because the guy is quick if you give him a quick car, I mean a decent car.
Yeah, it's all about the package. But I think in the end, it's going to be Carlos Sainz Jr.
Where?
He's going to go to Renault.
Well, for next season, he's staying at Toro Rosso.
I know, but the season after that, in 2018, he looks like Fernando. He loves Fernando. He dresses like Fernando. He shaves like Fernando.
Yeah, but he does not have the humor of Fernando.
Nobody has that humor.
Yeah.
But camping chair sales in Spain alone are up 100%.
Oh, wow. And I understand the GP2 model cars are also very popular in Japan.
Very popular. Very popular. And there's a string. You pull it, and it says, GP2, GP2 engine.
Ah! For me, it was very, very unbelievable. And, you know, the thing that it happened at Suzuka, a track owned by Honda. I mean, talk about adding insult to injury and giving the samurai sword also.
Hey, don't forget, Honda wanted Fernando.
Yes, that's very true.
That's very true. So, what did you think of the podium, the Tifosi, the excitement?
Well, I was really impressed by Nico Rosberg's singing talent. I did not know he had that going for him.
Well, I don't know about singing, but he speaks Italian well because, you know, don't forget, Monaco is right there on the Italian border. A lot of people in that part of France speak Italian as well. Bravo, bravo, prego. But when he went on and started doing ta 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 ta, I thought that was over the top. That was for soccer games, football games, not Formula One.
Yeah, but the good thing was the crowd joined in that, and he really showed how intercontinental he is. You know, he speaks like 5 languages.
Well, of course, when your father's Finnish, you're born in Germany, you live in Monaco or France, close to Italy, you're in your karting career always exposes you to a lot of Italian and Italy itself. When you're young, you absorb.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I got to tell you something about you saying being Finnish. Have you watched the pre-race press conference with the drivers? Or pre-race and post-race press conference that they do?
No.
You know, when they do the media thing and after the first 3 questions, they open the floor. Check this out. One guy, obviously he's from Finland, he says to Nico Rosberg, and Sebastian Vettel was getting a good laugh about it. He says, Nico Rosberg, do you know now that you are the first Finnish driver to win on Italian soil? And Nico was pretty classy about it. He says, I didn't know that. So I was also kind of surprised to learn that Mika Hakkinen and Kimi Raikkonen never won in Italy, let alone Monza.
Wow. So there you go for the Finnish record books.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was very good. And I think, you know, if we don't know how this championship will go down now that we are down to 7 races. Both these drivers have won a lot of races. And if you can win a race against Lewis Hamilton, you are very good. And I was thinking about this yesterday, that if Nico Rosberg wins the championship, it will be very good for the F1 image. Now, by the way, talking about F1, we haven't talked about the big thing that the sale to Liberty Media, which is headed by Mr. John Malone, is almost a done deal.
But the key word is almost, because I heard that there's some competition for that purchase, and it's not done, and the fat lady has not sung.
Yes, but looks like this thing will go down, I think.
I think so, and I don't think it's going to change anything.
Yeah, but I think we will see more Formula One has been, like, some guy once made a comment to me, their website is like a bank website. I think with some new blood, new ideas, we may see some more promotional ideas for Formula One, which it really needs.
I know, but I think Formula One's website's pretty good. They have highlights of the race that you can access, a lot of good information, and their app is very good. I think F1 has come a long way.
Well, you know, I got an issue with that website. I'm going to tell you why. I have not gone on. That's not the website I go for information for, like, latest news. But I'll tell you something, and you can tell me if this is correct. Some years ago, when you looked at Formula One, you know, they had a nice area for history of Formula One, all the race results and all that. And I used to access that, among others, to verify information for my calendar. And they used to have result. If you looked at the result from 1950 to 1959 or 60, the Indy 500 was listed there because it was part of the Formula One World Championship. Yeah, I think they have dropped that now, which I think is not correct, because, hey, if it's part of a World Championship, it should be there.
How could they drop it? Because it's history. You can't. Is it revisionist history?
Yeah, you know, like they say, you know, history is written by winners, so I guess whoever the winner was that day. You know, that kind of stuff I don't like at all.
Huh. I think most of those people believe that the moon landing was filmed in Hollywood.
I thought it was in Bollywood.
It could have been Bollywood. They're capable. They're high tech now.
Because I heard a rumor that Neil Armstrong, you know, he had a not so spicy curry on the lunar module.
Okay. Let's move on. We're going to Singapore. That's going to be exciting. I want to talk about that. I know you've got a great motorsports mondial. I know you want to talk about that. But I know you also want to talk about Monza.
Yeah, Monza, it's in the goodie bag. So if you want to take a break, we can do that. And then we come back, we do a motorsports mondial and a goodie bag of Monza moments.
Okay, so why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Today we're going to start with Hapedos GP2. Hiviard's worst nightmare is coming true race by race. Red Bull's 20-year-old French driver Pierre Gasly started the feature race from pole and looked set to take the win. A mid-race yellow shuffled the field and allowed local driver Antonio Giovinazzi to grab the lead on the final lap from Rafael Marcello. Very impressive win by Antonio, as he had started from the back of the grid. And that was something to do with some issues with his car after qualifying. Okay, Sunday's sprint race was won by French driver Norman Nato. Gasly was second and Giovinazzi third. Gasly leads the championship with 174 points, 10 more than second-place man Giovinazzi. Not sure if you got watched this on YouTube. What happened is Sky people approached Mr. Dr. Helmut Marko and said, what do you have to say about this statement from Pierre Gasly saying that he will be racing for Toro Rosso at Singapore? And he goes, well, this is all news to me. Apparently, typical, you know, when these things happen, Pierre Gasly gave an interview to some Spanish newspaper, and he said he hopes to be, you know, in Singapore, not as a driver, but as, you know, part of the team. So it was taken as that he's going to drive. So Dr. Marco said, no, Kvyat's seat is safe. We will make a decision in mid-October. But I think, you know, another 30 days, give him another couple of races. I think he's gone from Red Bull, Kvyat, that is.
Yes. He's back to working for Putin.
There you go. Yeah, and so we'll see how that thing works out. So you should be happy one more Francais in Formula One next year.
It's very good, very good.
Yeah. Maybe Renault should take him. I don't know if Red Bull will release him. But anyway, move on to GP3, baby sister of GP2. Race one was Rule Britannia. Podium was occupied by drivers on Her Majesty's service. Jake Gunness was the winner, his first of the series. Jack Aitken was second, and Jake Hughes was third. The second race, you know, Clark, this is another one of those mysteries of Formula One which I don't understand. The second race saw another first win in the series, this time for Dutch driver Nick de Vries. Second was Alexander Albon from Thailand, and third was local boy Antonio Fuoco. You know, Nick de Vries took 3 years to win the Renault Euro Cup, and he has taken almost a season in to win his first race in GP3. And all this time, he has been part of the McLaren driver development program, managed by, from what I know, by Papa Hamilton. What say you on this Nick de Vries and McLaren love fest?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. McLaren had a love fest with Lewis Hamilton, let's face it.
Yeah, but this guy was winning championship in his first year every which way.
Well, you know, maybe he polishes Ron Dennis's shoes occasionally.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, the championship, that is the GP3 championship, is still led by Charles Leclerc from Monte Carlo with 177 points. Second is Italian Antonio Fuoco with 153 points. And we continue with more mysteries of Formula One. Santino Ferrucci is the only American in the field this year. He is Haas F1's team development driver. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Okay. Also, it gets better. Also in the series is Giuliano Alesi, and he is part of Ferrari driver development. Both of them need a lot of new motivation to move up in the ranks. And I'm very surprised that Haas did not take Alexander Rossi under their wings. He was second in GP2 last year and is the only American to win in GP2. What do you make of Rossi being overlooked by Haas?
He's getting older. He didn't win the championship outstandingly. He lucked out winning. Well, I mean, everybody gets a lot of luck in motorsports, but I think Alexander Rossi's days are done in Formula One. He's a little too tall.
Same problem as Nico Hülkenberg, huh?
Yep.
Okay, we move on to MotoGP from Silverstone. This was very interesting. First-time winner in four races. Maverick Viñales of Spain won the race for Suzuki. This was their first win since the 2007 French MotoGP at Le Mans, when the rider was Aussie-made Chris Vermeulen. He used to race their beautiful light blue Rizla-sponsored machines, and I saw them in action at Laguna Seca when they used to come there. Indy cars from beautiful Watkins Glen in upstate New York. Like you mentioned, Scott Dixon was the winner for Chip Ganassi Racing. And Chip Ganassi Racing, they are losing their Target sponsorship after about 25 years, one of the longest running sponsorship in motor racing. Your homeboy, Simon Pagenaud, still leads the championship. The season finale at Sears Point, now known as Sonoma Raceway, will pay double points. Now, that is a great genius idea. Perhaps F1 should take this example to offer bigger excitement. Wow. What say you, Mr. Host?
Well, you know what? I enjoyed Watkins Glen. The race was exciting, and Watkins Glen looks fantastic. Okay. They've cleaned that track up, and I think F1 should really take a look at it.
No, that location is beautiful, Finger Lakes region. And I love the aerial shots. And believe it or not, the track is owned by France family of NASCAR fame.
Of course, they have a lot of money. But that track is nice. When NASCAR races there, it's a different, a shorter configuration. But I thought the racetrack, the cars, looked great on the track. It was good racing, except for the fuel saving. Then a splash here and a splash there is ridiculous. But all in all, Watkins Glen definitely is a wonderful place to visit.
No, it's very nice. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people who went to Watkins Glen, and whether it was a Formula One driver or team people that I've spoken to over the years, they always have nothing to say but good things about it. It was a very popular season, ending race when it used to be in October. So, but I think Formula One, it will be fantastic if they bring Formula One there, but I think it's going to stay in Texas or move to Vegas.
Maybe. Also, I want to talk about Darlington.
Okay.
Le NASCAR.
You're scaring me, Clark.
I'm telling you, they did something that was really cool that Formula One should do.
Which is?
They went back in time and painted all the cars, everybody dressed up. It was called a throwback to the 60s and 70s. And so you saw Tide sponsorship back, Caterpillar, and it was very exciting to see the newer cars painted up in the old schemes of the 60s and 70s. And I would love to see Formula One do a throwback to where we get the Hesketh, the Marches, where we get some Mile 7, some vintage paint schemes on the cars, just for one Grand Prix where everybody dresses up in the 60s, drinks champagne, and smokes cigarettes.
Well, you know, like somebody said, one journalist, Formula teams, they cannot even agree on what day of the week it is, let alone this kind of stuff. But this NASCAR throwback vintage era, NBC Sports did I watched that one-hour show, whatever it was in length, fantastic job. You know, they had all these drivers, David Pearson and Cale Yarborough, and I don't know if you know anything about Wood Brothers, but these are the people who were at Le Mans also with the Ford GT program. I really, really enjoyed that very much. I do have a question for you, sir.
Yes.
When are you starting your next podcast called Left Only Weekly?
It's coming up pretty soon. Probably next year if Mercedes is starting on the front row in Australia.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. So,
And my first interview is going to be Cale Yarborough.
I thought it was going to be Greg Biffle, your favorite.
Greg Biffle is second.
The one thing I'm going to tell you something about NASCAR. You talk about Caterpillar. Caterpillar was the sponsor when Ward Burton won the Daytona 500 some years ago. Man, you have to listen to that interview in Victory Lane. Okay, I'm sure it's available on YouTube. It's a classic. I mean, if somebody got a degree in caution, it was Ward Burton.
That's good. That's good. But see, I find NASCAR a little more refreshing these days. And the throwback, and I did watch that 1 hour segment of the history, and with the video of the vintage cars racing at Talladega and Darlington. And in those days, they were really cars. They were real stock cars. It was great stuff.
Yeah, big American heavy metal. I love those cars from the late 60s and 70s. You know, I've said it before, the Plymouth Barracuda and the Dodge Charger was a beautiful looking car.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Number 43, sir.
There you go. That's the King Richard Petty. Okay. Shall we continue with the goodie bag?
Yes. Let's go back to Monza.
Let's come back to real time. Okay, the Royal Park just outside Milano. What a place, what a track. This is where Mario Andretti saw his childhood hero Alberto Ascari race in the Italian Grand Prix. And over two decades later, Mario himself would win the Italian Grand Prix at the Monza Autodromo, also known as Pista Magica, magical track, by the locals. Long before Formula One World Championship was established in 1950, great legends of Grand Prix racing, names like Nuvolari, Ascari, as in Antonio, Papito of Alberto, Caracciola, raced at Monza. And many unfortunately perished at ultra-fast pre-chicane Monza days. There was the dark day, I don't remember the year, but there was one race, Clark, in the 20s or 30s, that three drivers were killed during one race. In 1961, Jim Clark, young and yet to win his first Grand Prix, was involved in a crash that killed Wolfgang von Trips, the first German to win an F1 race, along with 14 spectators, some of them children. That was the day Phil Hill from Santa Monica, California, won the race to be crowned the first world champion from the United States. 17 years later, history would repeat itself both in glory and gore, as Mario Andretti from Nazareth, PA, wins the race and the world championship in the all-conquering ground effect Lotus 79. After the race, he would lose not only his victory for jumping the start along with Canadian horseshoe Gilles Villeneuve, but also what he called his best teammate, Ronnie Peterson, who was involved in a crash at the start. The track has a similar history when it comes to racing on two wheels. Jarno Trulli was named after a famous Finnish motorcycle racer, Jarno Saarinen, who was killed in an accident at Monza in 1973, along with local rider Renzo Pasolini. Now we shall look at some magical moments at Monza. Okay. Now, I'm sure you, Clark, you know that once upon a time in the late 50s, they had these two race of two worlds between Indy cars and Formula One cars.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and both of them were won by American drivers from the IndyCar side. 1960, this was the first ever win by an American driver in Formula One, Phil Hill. And Hill's victory was also the last ever win in Grand Prix racing for a front-engine car. And that was from the 1960 Italian Grand Prix. Ludovico, 1966, Ludovico Scarfiotti was the winner in his Ferrari. This was his only Grand Prix win. And to this day, Monza has not seen a victory by a local driver, though Clay Regazzoni, Italian-speaking Swiss, also won in a Ferrari in 1970. And talking of 1970, Monza claims the life of Jochen Rindt in qualifying on Saturday. He did not want to race the Lotus 72 and requested Colin Chapman to race the old Lotus 49. According to Nina Rindt, widow of Jochen, Colin told him to race the 72 or don't race at Monza, and rest is history. 1971, one of the greatest finishes in Grand Prix history. Going into Parabolica for the final time, five drivers had a chance to win the race. English driver Peter Gethin emerged as the winner, his one and only Grand Prix. He sadly passed away a few years ago. 1977, Mario Andretti wins his spiritual home Grand Prix in a Lotus. Obviously a fabulous moment for him. 1980, there was no Monza but Imola. This was the only time since 1950 that the Italian Grand Prix did not take place and went to Imola because they were doing some, you know, safety upgrades at Monza. And talking of Imola, have you, you know, I'm sure you heard that Monza has signed a 3-year deal with Formula One?
Yes.
Well, guess what came out today? That Imola is taking legal action that the Italian Federation is using state funds for Monza, but not for Imola.
I thought you were going to tell me that Imola is suing Roger Ailes.
Roger? No, well, it could be the pit babes from Imola.
Okay.
Okay, 1982 was very, very important day at weekend at Monza, Clark. Mario on pole and moi, the kid from Karachi was there to witness that day and on Sunday to watch René Arnoux win for Renault Turbo. What a race it was. What a beautiful memories I have from that event. 1988, McLaren's immaculate season Schlesserized in the closing laps, giving Ferrari a 1-2 few weeks after the passing of the prancing horse, Signor Enzo Ferrari himself. And I have a feeling, talking of this immaculate season, Clark, if Mercedes go on to win the remaining races, which is very likely, I think that people in Stuttgart are going to get really pissed off at Lewis and Nico, despite all their success, that because of both of them, they did not have an immaculate season.
That's true. But yeah, it sure was a great, great win for Verstappen.
Yeah, that it was. That it was. Yeah, he's getting a lot of heat even now, you know, about his driving. And you know, interestingly, I've read some comments about, you know, people like Carlos Sainz, Esteban Ocon, they raced with him in karting also. And they all have the same thing that Kimi is saying, you know, just has his own way of racing and winning. Which the interesting thing is, with all the talent he has, he really does not need to go down that path, you know.
I understand, but don't forget Schumacher did a lot of bad things too.
Yeah, he did this when he was three-time world champion, so you have to cut him some slack. He had done something.
I agree. There's no doubt. And he was a great driver. And but talk to Jacques Villeneuve, and he'll tell you.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll tell you. It's, again, you know, you do things. Like, you know, I remember when we interviewed Nigel Mansell, he said that the race he lost to Senna at Monte Carlo, he said he would have been black flagged many, you know, long before the finish because he's weaving up and down, right and left. So I guess, you know, in those days, a lot of things went and you didn't do anything. But, you know, in today's age, it's a different environment.
I know. And we all miss those days, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And I don't want to ride on Michael or Verstappen. And it's just some of the things I'm hearing and sharing with all the F1 Weekly Familia members.
Well, the FIA have spoken to Verstappen. They gave him a little slap on the wrist, and he'll whip up into shape. once he gets the package and he gets on pole position, then he can take control and win his championship once the Renault package is up to speed. But that's going to be a long time away, and who knows. Anyway, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, and of course, the goodie bag.
Oh, yes, always a pleasure.
Okay, now we're going to go into 50 words from the F1 Weekly Familia, and here we go. Ke Hae Sin writes, LCH discovers that to finish first, starting first would be a really, really good idea. Meanwhile, Daniel Xu Ricciardo has time to watch the television and learn from it. Leon Bray, LCH screws up the start, which allows Nico to cruise to a win. Rest of the race was procession, with the Red Bulls and Jensen adding a bit of entertainment, and Fred providing some comedic relief before photobombing the fastest lap. Debacle start, this is from Jackson, excuse me. Debacle start and predictable finish. Was hoping for more racing for podium. Tifosi always supplies good energy, though. Neon Zapper says Lewis does not know how to start. He never did, and he never will. There you have it. That's the F1 Weekly Familia Nasser. I just want to say that let's hope Singapore brings on something exciting. You know, Mercedes is always a little concerned at Singapore because the Renault package is definitely going to look good there.
Well, if there is one race where Mercedes might not dominate again, it's Singapore, because Ferrari people are pretty hopeful, and Danny Ricciardo is thinking that, you know, he can make it happen.
If you can make it anywhere, you can make it at Singapore.
Yeah, for 2 hours of heat and humidity in the lights, very good.
Well, I think it's a nice-looking track. I think everybody likes it. And once again, with the Adrian Newey package over at Red Bull, I think they'll outdo Ferrari, because this track is definitely all about aerodynamics.
Do you think we'll have an all-Mercedes front row?
No. I think we have all Red Bull front row.
Yeah, I think we're going to have... Red Bull will be there. I have a very strong feeling.
And you know who's going to be P3?
Tell me, Fernando?
Correct. Bravo, bravo, prego, mille grazie.
Yeah, there it is, Mr. Rogers. But I think, you know, as far as the season coming to an end, as far as the championship is concerned, I think whoever has a DNF or a wheel banging, which makes them visit the DNF, anybody who's between the two visiting the DNF chapel, because, you know, one of them don't finish, meaning the other one is gaining 25 points. So I think that will be a very strong factor in determining the championship. What I do not want, something happening in the final race where one of the drivers don't finish. That will not be very cool.
Well, I've made an appointment at the DNF Chapel.
And who is your pastor there? Pastor Rosberg or Pastor Hamilton?
It's Fernando. It's Papito.
He will be there too. Well, he likes...
No, actually, we know who runs the DNF chapel. Come on.
Who?
Guido Sarducci.
Oh, there you go. I remember him very well.
Thank you.
He's doing his gig these days.
He's, he's on the F1 Weekly payroll.
Oh, he is. Wow.
Yeah, Guido Sarducci. Bravo.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you have it, Ness.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to thank everybody who listens to this program. And I want to thank all the listeners at WROCK Radio in beautiful East Coast. Nasser?
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our shout-outs last week. Let's get through them now. The podcasters at F1Weekly.com.
risk his neck for his brother, man. Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Yeah, we can dig it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.